Okay, welcome everyone. I'd like to call the, this monthly meeting postponed last week due to the blizzard that we had. So Thursday, March 3rd, 4 p.m. Call to order, and if we could pledge the flag again.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Larry, get a prayer for us?
Sure, just a minute.
Our Father in heaven, we're grateful today for the many blessings we've enjoyed. We're especially grateful for the atonement of Jesus Christ. We're grateful for the moisture we've received. And we ask thy blessings that we can receive yet more moisture. And that we will be able to consider and act in the best interest of the district and the matters involving our water situation. And we ask these blessings in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hey, roll call of members.
Mr. Tom Presky, here.
Corey Ellsworth is here.
Larry Bagshaw here.
Ray Headings here.
Tammy Albright here.
George Rokowski here.
David Dickinson here.
Sharon Hillman here.
Roger.
Roger Childers here.
Very good. We have a quorum, so we shall proceed. This item five is the approval of the minutes from the January 27th. We need to reapprove those. Or is this another set that we already?
Oh, that's our regular minutes.
Okay.
It should be in our packet.
So the regular minutes, do I have a motion to approve the minutes of the January 27th, 2022 meeting?
I move to approve the minutes.
We have a second?
Second.
Okay. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion approved. Minutes passed and approved. Okay. Item six, reports to the board. So WIPA, program manager's report and general manager's report. Paul and David.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
Paul Hendricks here and board. My wife tested positive on COVID, and so I decided not to share that with you, and so I am remote.
Well, thank you, Paul.
Yes, well, I'm a sharing kind of a person, but I didn't want to share that.
Well, I missed your donuts this morning, so I'll just let you know.
Yeah, well, we'll double up next time or something.
Okay.
Anyway, so I'm feeling fine, and so this will be a little bit disconnected because David and I usually share our conversation. So if I may, I'll just kind of roll along, but I'll go slowly because a lot of this David may have specific comments on. And just interrupt me, David.
Okay.
So on Pine Creek 2, we have the approval to construct, and the board had approved to patch the underground after we got competitive prices that were much higher from the other two job order contracts. And they've ordered all the material and expect a mobile plant in April and move through that project. And then Cool Pines was completed by Apache Underground, and we just were advised that they mailed the red line contractor's markup on the plan the date of the district. As soon as we get those will be packaged up with the other information on pressure testing and vaccines and those kinds of things. And then MGC has indicated they'll have their engineer submit those for an approval of construction. And that should finish out the $8 million WIPA loan. Unless we have a little extra money, we may find something else to do that's important. Any questions on any of those? David, did you have any comments?
No.
Okay. Then we go on to phase one of the USDA project. We had some delays and talked about this morning, and both Ray and George indicated that we needed to really get a hard commitment from the engineers for getting these projects out to bid. We originally thought that they would be done with their designs in November, December, and we had a number of COVID excuses from engineers as well as contractors and suppliers, as we all have become familiar. But the good news is that Whispering Pines and the Woodland Heights project, we were advised by EPS that they are ready to submit those for an approval to construct. One of the issues that came up on the last set of plans associated with the Cool Pines PC was that the fire district wanted to have fire protection flows and hydrants and a lot of things that we haven't put in the project and the district wasn't ready to commit to. So we had a good discussion with ADQ, and we'll be bringing something back to the board consideration. Basically, everybody understands at ADQ and the fire district that we don't have capability or capacity to deliver fire flows. Wasn't intended, and we don't have capability. We are looking, because of the change in pricing for normal PVC pipe and some of the site conditions here, David had suggested that we have the engineers take a last look at perhaps going to HTPE pipe. That's the black fusion weld pipe that you see at the mines thing. And David, you might just chat about that just for a minute.
Yeah, HDPE, heavy, high-density polyethylene. It's been around for a long amount of years. It's all they use in Europe. Europe, they don't touch the PVC or ductile iron unless it's a special application. The differences, right now, HDPE is about half price of what PVC and ductile iron are, so it's looking like it might be a good idea to make a switch. The benefits of HDPE, you don't have to run leak calculations on it. This pipe we stick in 20 feet at a time. For example, the Apache project, they 1,900 feet of 6-inch. I have to do a leak calculation on it. So 1,900 feet of 6-inch, the allowable leak is 1.94 gallons. HDPE, the allowable leak rate is big fat zero. It does not have to be restrained because there are no joints to restrain. The lifetime of HDPE is expected to be in excess of 200 years. I just went to a conference this week and I saw some of the research and development data. That number may turn out in the next 10 years to be over 1,000 years. But they weren't supposed to show me that, but I saw it. So it's really good stuff. You have to have a special machine to fuse it together. It's another thing is that the PVC ductile iron has a lifetime on surge limitations. How many times a pump turns on and off, or how many times an operator closes a valve too fast, or the fire department closes a hydrant too fast. All those are surges, and they're like a punch to the gut. And PVC and ductile can only take that so many times before they burst. And HDPE, it could take it for infinite amount of times because it's a little more flexible. So we recently had two burst events. Y'all probably aware of the church vault right in front of the LDS church. We almost drained a tank on that one. It was a major blowout. The pipe just literally separated lengthwise about 6 feet long, and half the pipe lifted up. The same exact thing happened about 3 weeks later in Portal 3 with a PVC pipe. It was stretched out over a rock, and it just had enough of the surges, and it literally split about 6 feet long, and one half of it lifted up. That did drain the tank, and we asked the people in Portal 3 if they could cut back on the use. They did a great job, and we got that tank filled in a day just by cutting
the
use.
So the Reader's Digest version is,
sorry.
This is a good technology, and we're having the engineers take a look at it because this is the time where we either need to fish or cut bait regarding the type of material. Subsequent to our project meeting this morning, I had an opportunity to talk with Apache Underground, who is currently installing 6-inch HDPE at another project. And David, Isco Pipe is selling that pipe at $7.35 a foot as compared to 6-inch PVC at $13.68 a foot. Now there's some issues associated with construction and all that sort of thing, but we don't need to go into that today. But David came up with a great concept and perfect timing. Not too late to look at this seriously, and all of the engineers swallowed hard because this is kind of a different approach as they're at their final design stage. I think we can really take a hard look at it and make that decision in the best interest of the district. If I may, I'd like to go on to the other project.
Mr. Chairman, question,
yes.
If I may. What would a portable fusion welder cost us to have as an asset for brakes and other things you need to do?
I don't have a definite price. I just started researching this in the last 2 days.
Yeah.
But I'm guessing somewhere $20,000-$30,000.
That's what they cost.
They're not very expensive.
Yeah. Okay. I didn't know, maybe that were $100,000 or $250,000 or something.
No.
They're not. Okay.
But we got 61 miles of pipe to replace, so
yeah,
right.
We're going to have it.
If this is so much cheaper and so much of a better product, how come it's just now coming up when we just finished all of these projects?
We've used it before. You might want to count on it.
Yes, Circle Drive up in Strawberry.
My neighborhood. Port. Street down the mall.
Okay.
Back in 2015.
Right. What is making this more appealing now is the cost of PVC and ductile iron is shot through the roof. And this has remained
ridiculous.
Stable.
Yeah.
So before it was the other way around. It was HDPE was so expensive, it's like, oh, forget about it.
That may not. Okay. That may not hold true with oil prices increasing.
Yeah.
Right.
So right away, it would be a better idea to.
Yeah, and that's one of the things we should probably look at. If we're going to switch, we could buy a bunch right now. Because it is an oil-based product.
It's and it's right. On a coil, and what it can withstand, UV rays.
Yeah, we
can
sit in the arc. It's wonderful.
Yeah.
It doesn't degrade.
And David's going to provide us with a cost-benefit analysis on it, so we'll be able to see.
Okay.
Yep, working on it now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Anything else on that? So, Pine Mountain, Acres, Pinion, and White Oak, Beaver, Meadow. We're finalizing plans there, and subsequent to our meeting today, I sent a follow-up to the engineers, pinning them down on a schedule for when we can get those projects out for bid. And both EPS and Sunrise are supposed to convene and collaborate on being sure that their specifications are coordinated so that when they go out to bid, the contractors will be seeing all of this information in a reasonable way. Going on to modeling and GIS, we're optimistic about the value of what we're getting in the modeling and GIS, not only for this, but other things like this deep well that's going to require a certain amount of water for drilling, using the model to predict how we can deliver water to a future drill site versus just guessing at how much water we could get through the system and then having a potential issue that could delay the contractor. And then also today we talked about the outfeeds, which we're going to go around to each resident, where we're going to be removing the meter from the back lots to the front and getting construction access and using the GIS to be able to pin things down. So we're actually making really real life benefit from the investment in the upgraded GIS system right away. The capital program for the Strawberry Deep Well, we have a siting study that was shared in final draft today. We also have input from SRP regarding any potential impact to the spring. And we think we have a couple of preferred sites. The geologic's going to finalize the draft based upon comments and have a exhibit to us and start working on the specifications. We expect the March 24th meeting to have a recommendation for a set of plans and specifications that would allow us to go out to bid to retain and drill it. Is there anything else on that, David?
No.
Okay. Portals 2 and 3, as you recall, we decided to move on from having Baker to the design. We've asked for proposals from Sunrise and Geologic. We got input from both of them, and we're getting more information from Geologic. As we haven't worked with them yet on a pipeline design, we want to be sure that their scope and schedule and approach is high quality and equivalent to our needs. And then we expect, as we get that answer, internally we'll make a decision as to which firm we're going to go with, and we will come back to the board for authorization to start design of replacement portals 1, 2, and 3. Good news, I'm sure Sharon will share with us on the financing and loans, all that. It's good news coming in the right direction, and I think Sharon indicated that we actually would have construction funding April, early May, which will fall in line very nicely with having the projects out for bid in order to be able to actually start the construction. Depending on how long the bid takes and the current process, and then the ordering of material, we're seeing anywhere from 6 to 8 weeks for pipeline and material. So we're probably looking at late summer on into the fall and winter for the USDA pipeline replacement projects. With that, ongoing activities, regular meetings with staff, and working with Sharon on the disbursements of money. And we're anxious to see construction down at Pine Creek 2 and wrapping up the $8 million LIFRA project. As some of you recall, we weren't sure that we could get this done and actually do all these projects, and I think we'll be able to pop open the champagne here pretty soon, or the Berkeley Street View, one of the two. Any other comments, David?
Nope.
Any questions from the board?
Paul, the interim financing with a loan, that's not going to pay off the existing debt. USDA is paying that off.
That's more specifically correct, yes.
Yeah.
Ready for me, General Manager's report?
Yes.
It should go quick. We've covered a bunch of it already. Water loss for the public that are on now. January was 11.7%, down from December's 30%. We've got better tracking techniques, and the field staff has taken initiative to get out there and work a little bit harder at this, so that's helped a lot.
Now, David, industry standard is 10%, right?
10%, yes.
Just so the public
understands. That'll be our goal.
Getting close to that 10%.
Yeah,
now.
Yeah. The average loss, if you took all the systems in Arizona, is about 16%. So, yeah, that it's we've got our some ideas on why that dropped, and I don't know that I can mention them here, but I'll move on. We're on it, though. There was an online post that came to my attention this last month claiming that Fine Strawberry Water Improvement District has 8 contaminants in our water that are over the EWG, Environmental Working Group, guidelines. It stirred up a big fracas online. This is like any other post that you see. You need to do your research and don't believe everything you read. It didn't take much for me to find out that this EWG group is an American activist group that specializes in using fear-mongering tactics, and I can quote this source if anybody wants to get particular. They use fear-mongering tactics as an effective strategy to sell products. We actually had a customer was concerned about her chlorine content in her water causing her cancer. I went and tested her water, and it was 0.50. We got to stay between 0.50 and 4.0. It's like that show we've probably all seen on Sunday when we let the news run too long. The first thing they say is chlorine causes cancer. Well, being a human being on this planet causes cancer, so...
So David, you've actually looked at through our own testing all of these act, and none of the levels are true.
Yeah, and
you do that on a monthly basis, right? Or
yes, and we turn out an annual water quality report that is a duplicate of what we do. So,
okay, so the public can look at that report at any time.
This EWG group, their guidelines they created themselves. I think one of their comments is arsenic is 511 times over their guidelines. We are many times well below the EPA's guidelines. And the EPA and the State Department of Environmental Quality, we have to adhere to those guidelines. We are mandated to it, and we have not had any issues at all. We're well under the maximum contaminant limit on all of our contaminants. So we are doing good. And when we don't do so well, we have to issue a public notice, but we haven't had any problems at all, and so just do your research, make sure of what you're reading is actual fact.
Do we have our own lab, or do you send the data, or the samples out?
We send the samples out to, what's it called?
Interbase Environmental.
Yeah, it's a third party.
In the valley?
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
What do we got here? The moratorium. We talked about it a little bit earlier. We can let you know that 177 gallons per minute is what we're short in our peak month. We're working on that. Just a little tidbit of information. If we fixed all of our leaks tomorrow, we'd still have a deficit of 136 gallons a minute. So we really should consider shifting our efforts into finding more sources. And we're working on existing sources, and I'll cover it in the next topic. And we're also looking at the deep wells and perhaps more of those. Next topic are the old wells. We've done a few tests. One was a water share agreement that was producing 1 gallon per minute. That's not going to make it a viable source for us. The cost of just getting it up and running is close to $10,000, and for 1 gallon a minute, it just, to be honest with you, this well ran dry after I ran it for 10 minutes, so it's not a good source. The second one we tested has an effective yield of 8 gallons per minute, and it seems to, it's leveled out and ran for hours, and it recovered in about 10 minutes. So optimally, we'd like to see 10 to 25 gallons a minute on the water share agreement to make it a viable source. That was that. Heather and Morgan in the office are working on the drought stages. I think that's just about final. We've sent it out to the Water Enhancement Committee to review. There hasn't been any other adjustments on that. So we're getting pretty close. They are also working on where we're going to put these signs and getting the permit signs out on the 87. Paul touched on Cool Pines B and C. We're just waiting on paperwork. We're getting real close. And crew certification, we now have 4 people studying. That's where we are on that. If anybody's got any questions. Otherwise, I'm good on that.
All right. Sharon, finance report. Thank you, David and Paul.
USDA sent letters to the district and the title company in February with a listing of items that need to be completed and submitted before closing. The closing date for the $5.03 million loan can be scheduled. We and the title company are working to get the requested items. Disbursements continue for the original WIFA funding from 2018 with unfunded projects. Number 43 for January work was submitted with funds received in February. Only Pine Creek 2 project is left to be started in April. RCAC has provided the draft report, including any changes from the second public hearing. The draft will be on the March 3rd agenda for review and board approval. The WIPA design loan sent in disbursement number 8 for January for engineering fees, and funds were received in February. The new WIPA loan of $17.5 million was approved by WIPA Finance Authority in February. The funds from the loan are for the construction of the USDA projects, and costs will be paid off by USDA at the end of 5 years. The loan is at a 1% interest for the 5-year term.
Thank you,
Sharon. They told me it's going to be closing about April 1st, so it's possible when it closes April 1st, funds will be available by the end of April. It takes a little while.
Very good. Any questions for Sharon? Thank you, Sharon. George.
Okay, the overall Treasury report was prepared by Sharon and group. Thank you. I've gone through it. The public, it has all of our balance sheet profits and losses and project funding costs. So you can find just about anything you need in there. I've done a monthly review of all our expenditures, whether it's check repay. I found no discrepancies in anything. So there, and I've also looked at the overall financial obligations we have in comparison to the current revenue streams, and we currently have no problems meeting all financial obligations. Earned value on contracted projects. I've begun getting the information. I'm slowly but surely dialing the information in. The goal is to make sure that the money is spent at the same rate the project is proceeding. We're getting our contractors used to getting us the data. I've got some preliminary data, but until I clean it up and we get them fully on board, I'm not going to present it in this report, but I will present it in this report. Our current operation budget burn down shows that currently the operations budget that David runs is projected to go under budget at this point, so he's staying well within his budget that was approved by the by our committee here. Any questions?
Thank you, George. Secretary's report, Mr. Bagshaw.
No formal report. I will apologize to the board. I did not publish our Water Enhancement Committee meeting because I didn't have the commitment for the people being there in a timely manner to publish it and post it for the public. I will do that at our future meeting. And I will have the meeting, the minutes for that meeting at our future meeting.
All right. Thank you, Larry. Riley, have you got a report at all?
Oh, there you go. No formal report.
Okay. I heard the crickets. Very good. Well, thank you.
I was trying to find the off mute button and see if that would actually click.
Okay. So I guess we won't see a charge for your report.
So we don't hear any background.
Okay. Very good. Chairman's report. As I commented earlier, Morgan and I attended the RAGET. That's the Rural Arizona Group Health Trust meeting, their annual conference. Reviewed plan year commencing 7-1. Trustees voted to accept this and a plan increase for employee only of 12.4. This contract renewal needs to be approved by the board and decided whether it will be a 1, 3, or 5 year contract. And this needs to be submitted by April 1st. Open enrollment meetings have been requested for a meeting with RAGET, with Gallagher Bassett, presenting either on May 17th or May 24th. So we're awaiting confirmations on those dates because they have to meet with each of the trust members and the employee group to discuss open enrollment opportunities, particularly with the new EAP vendor and the new dental and vision vendors. Personnel Advisory Group, Tammy.
I think you've got it all laid out. I mean, this is the same stuff we talked about at our last meeting. It looks like it's just been finalized and written into the employee handbook. There's nothing here that we didn't talk about and okay. agree on in a consensus. So
I guess it can be covered in old business when
yes.
we get to that. So, okay. Water Enhancement Committee. The meeting was canceled on 2/24 with Coral Evans to explore new infrastructure monies available. It has been rescheduled for March 31st at 9 a.m. So March 31st. Thursday it is. Presently, we're exploring somewhere else to hold the meeting. Kind of anticipating what the size of the group may be. We will have media here. I think Channel 15 is going to attend the Payson Roundup. A representative will be here. Cora will be bringing 3 to 4 folks with her to the meeting. Any public attendees and anyone else who may be attending. So we are looking. We've reached out to the Cultural Center. We've got some information on that, although they do not have internet, and we will need internet because we want to have a Zoom meeting. So also looking up at Strawberry Cabin or Strawberry Lodge or wherever. And then David and I are going to reach out to the fire department because we had a meeting with them a few months ago. We are going to meet with them again regarding the fire hydrant. Suggestion fire protection resolution. So we are going to see if they would offer up maybe a meeting room if they have it. I mean,
the library has their meeting room too, back behind the cultural.
Okay.
The library, yeah.
Yeah, the library.
Okay. I don't know whether that has Wi-Fi, but
yes, it would be a formal public meeting. So we'll need to make sure to get that posted
right.
on there. Okay, I'll have Morgan or one of the office staff check. See what its availability is. And I'm sure they have internet. So, okay.
And will we have something sent to us before the meeting?
Well, basically, Chris Ray, she's put a presentation together, so we could certainly have her presentation.
Okay. Is that the one you already sent and I had a hard time opening?
Yeah.
Got it.
Okay. There's been 3 or 4 edits since then, but it's pretty close.
And then basically, just hearing from someone, a representative from Washington, D.C., is going to be on the call. And be open for questions. And again, we're not looking for loans, we're looking for grants. We want free money.
Yeah.
That's what we're looking for. So looking forward to that meeting. Fortunately, but unfortunately, had that snowfall last week, which I'll take the 13 inches, but put us out of commission. Engineering planning meetings were attended in February. So I attend those weekly. And going forward from a training, looking to put together just an overview and maybe a reader's digest on the open meeting laws to be scheduled, because I know it was pointed out that in particular when an email goes out to all, please do not do a reply to all, because at that point it's a quorum. So thank you to Tom, who pointed that out. I appreciate that. And I've been very careful to myself now, just doing. So you've got to go into reply and only to a person or two back on your reply, as opposed to replying to everyone. I am looking at the final draft. You know, again, thank you to Tom for providing the safety manual that he's worked with. I'm a former safety director, so had never gotten around to time to put that together. So I'm going to go through.
Look all right to you?
Yeah, I'm just going to go through maybe some of the items that don't really address this. Like respiratory protection, we're voluntary. So again, just going to mark up a couple items there, and then we'll be ready to go on it.
Do we ever get into confined spaces? Or you're not deep enough for that?
Well, yes, we do have some confined spaces, absolutely.
Do you?
Yes. Okay.
Our well houses with the chlorine.
Yeah, oh yeah, absolutely.
Confined space, so.
We've got a few boosters that are in vaults.
Okay.
So we'll address that. And David has also recently just found a site.
The American Water Works Association has a weekly safety chat. Yeah.
52 topics.
And it's over there. We've already had the first ones.
And all related to our business. Yeah. So much better than just general industry stuff that's out there.
You might also check Honeywell offers confined training to all the fire departments for free. Oh. So if you contact them, they might be able to offer you some training.
Oh, yeah, good idea. Yeah.
Actually, they train all the fire departments in Valley.
And again, my experience with that, I've done excessive training in that when I was in my safety director position. We are going to be non-permitted confined space because permitted requires air testing, and we're not going to get into that. So mainly open up the door, ventilate it, and then we're able to go in, but still confined space. So we'll have to educate on the definition of what a confined space is. Okay, as far as personnel advisory group, I guess Tammy, my name is on there as a presenter, but if you could just,
note. We're going on to
One question.
Yes.
Here's, you said the group reviewed the 2017 field service pay. We don't have a 2017. It was 2021 when we did that.
Okay.
You're going back about 5 years.
All right. I don't know where I pulled that data.
I'll just change it on the...
Okay. So Tammy, on the proposed changes to the employee guide book?
Oh, you want me? Okay, so...
Sure.
Under old business, okay. So at our last executive session, this is what we had a long discussion on, how we would change the employee handbook to deal with being paid during... working on an actual holiday, one of our scheduled holidays. So you can see a list here, 1 through 4. These are the changes. Page 15, we're just adding what a standard work week is. Page 17, we're talking about specifically on a holiday, getting time and a half, no matter what your hours were that week. Page 18, with some clarification on the base pay and after hours and call outs. And the same on page 20 through 29 was paid time off and how it works with holiday vacation and sick leave. But these are all what we all agreed on at our executive session last month. So it's just been finalized.
The 6.4 I added, because if you read that paragraph, it doesn't make any sense, because paid time off is already in vacation, holiday, and sick leave areas of the manual. When you get down to the bottom of it, says the person will receive 0 hours for paid time off. We don't have buckets of paid time off. So I just wanted to remove that part because it doesn't make any sense.
So you wrote this up for elimination?
This was what's in there.
Oh, okay.
To eliminate it, because it makes no sense.
Oh.
We already have all of the paid time off in the designated areas. Yeah. So if you look at the last one, after 0 years of service, the employees are eligible for 0 paid time off. It should have been taken out of the manual a long time ago because it's insignificant.
Okay.
And then with the company hours there, I believe I emailed you, the three of you, about the work week has always started on a Saturday here. So when the employees work Saturday and Sunday, it could never be overtime. because it's the beginning of the week.
Right.
So now we change the week to start to Monday.
Yeah. So I would, do I make a motion or do you ask for a motion? So I'm requesting a motion to make these changes to the employee guidebook effective March 3rd, 2022.
One second.
So all those.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
Motion passes. Changes to the employee guidebook will be made and go into effect today. Thank you. That is a subject that was long discussed, so happy to get that behind us.
Yes.
Okay, next topic is
the NDA.
NDA, yeah, sure. Beating that one too today. So again, motions, pleasure of the board to the district has had meetings on January 24th regarding the CC Craigan.
That's the second meeting.
We're going to table this, right?
Do you have page two?
Did we table this?
Okay, item two.
Oh, the annexation.
Yes.
Yep.
Oh, we voted on this last month too.
I'm pretty sure we did.
I thought we did.
Have an order for us to sign.
Oh, we didn't have.
Writing is going to make up an order for you for us to sign.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
That's what I remember.
Right.
Yeah, and I do need to get that order. I apologize. But yeah, I'm.
So send this to next month?
Table it,
yeah. Table it?
Consideration.
We have a motion to table this item.
I shall table this item.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Tabled. And Raleigh will look for your order.
When should we expect that?
We'd like to have it for our board meeting on the 24th, Raleigh.
We can distribute it, and then it'll need to be considered and discussed as a board at the next meeting. But I can get it out to the board members to review individually and ask me questions about within a week after next.
Okay, so our next board meeting will be the March 24th. That'll be our March meeting. All right. Okay, so the non-disclosure agreement. Again, we've talked about the CC Craigan water rights, 500 acre feet of water rights available. Again, in the discussion, the district was informed that there would be costs associated with obtaining any of the water rights. How much the cost would be would depend on how many acre feet the district would purchase. And again, this is not wet water, just future available water with substantial cost to get it to us. In order to obtain any and all of the available water rights, the district would need to sign the non-disclosure agreement. Again, I believe in earlier discussion, we had to make a motion to authorize me to sign for further discussion or to table it until after the meeting with the state representatives.
I make a motion that we table it until after the meeting with the state executives per our executive meeting discussion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Motion has been carried. It will be tabled until after our meeting on the 31st. Tom, did you have something in addition?
That was it. No, okay. I was going to make the motion.
Very good. Thank you.
I stood down.
All right. Sharon, great study.
Yes, we had some changes. The study was presented at two public hearings on the 13th and 27th of January. After the presentation, it was discovered that the district no longer has 219 three-quarter inch meter services that were installed previously. All meters were replaced in the radio ring meter replacement program through WIPA funding, and all residential meters are now 5/8 inch meters. Therefore, the rates for option one and two in the report have changed and are much closer than previously presented. So if you want to look at the, gosh, let me look at the, find the page where the rates are. the proposed rates and the...
Page 29.
Page 29.
So there are no more 3/4-inch residential meters?
No, they were all...
We replaced them all with...
They were all removed when we put the new ones in. We weren't aware of that. They were, and the reason it was picked up for the rate study is they were still being billed as 3/4-inch meters. The price is the same.
Oh, okay.
For a 5/8 or a 3/4, so it didn't affect any of the billing. It was just noted it was a 3/4.
Got it.
And we had one resident email us and say, yeah, it looks like it's gonna go to $77 and that's not fair. So we went back in and changed them all to 5/8-inch meters. So...
Just one brief question clarification on the front of that item where it says recommendation.
Yes.
To select either option one or option two.
Yes.
I think it's either option one, two, or three, or option two or three, but not option one.
Oh,
or two.
That's right. Sorry.
Yep.
Yes, it is. It's option two or three, which is a uniform adjustment, and the other one is a metered equivalency adjustment. If you compared these numbers to the prior one that we had, there were larger discrepancies. There isn't anymore. So you could actually go with either of them. If you look at them, they're like pennies. You know, there's not huge amounts difference in them. Except when you go to the 1-inch residential meters, you'll see that the uniform adjustment for 20,000 gallons is 303, but the meter one is 366. So that's when you get into the larger size meters, that's gonna show you where the option three is quite a bit more.
Well, there's a little bit more in the issue.
Yeah. And we've not had a difference in 5/8-inch meter prices between residential and commercial before. We do now because we requested it. It was always the same, and it seemed kind of funny because the demand for the water is higher with a commercial entity than it is with a residential entity. So we have increased the prices for the 51 connections we have of 5/8.
Okay, so let me make sure I'm understanding this rate though. So the base rate for, let's say, a 1-inch residential, it's 133. For them to pay 366, they would have had to use 20,000 plus gallons of water.
Oh, you need to look at the 5/8-inch residential meter here first on the top. That's what we're really dealing with. We only have 13 1-inch meters in the entire system.
Okay, so, but again, but the way I'm reading this chart, let's say that you're under 3,000 gallons, then you would only pay your $53.51. But if for some reason you used 20,000 gallons, you would pay $286.
Right.
Correct.
Okay, so that is what
reason. No, there's two different parts. One is the size has a difference in price, and then the amount of usage has a difference. So two different things.
Yes.
Okay.
The base rate is always just the top line.
And you would still,
yes.
Then you would pay one.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
What they're actually giving us is the base rate plus 3,000 gallons, the base rate plus 5,000 gallons, 10,000 gallons, and 20,000 gallons usage is calculated in those dollar numbers already.
Okay.
So the first thing the board needs to do is approve the rate study to begin with and accept it, and then decide whether or not for July they want to use option two or option three for the rate changes.
I make a motion to approve the rate study as it stands.
Second.
Okay.
Do we have to approve this first or choose an option with that?
No, that's
after.
Second.
Second.
That's next time.
Yeah.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? So motion passes to approve the rate study.
And then you look at option two or option three, and as you can see, for the majority of our customers up here, it's all in this upper one right here. 3,142 of our customers are in that range. So we either select option two, which is considered a uniform adjustment, or option three, which is a meter equivalency adjustment. The rate study people always they give you the option three as their recommendation. But they said it's not an issue. You can do option two or option three, whatever the board chooses.
Now, I see option two keeps the water rates close to their current cost for the base rates, and it taxes our public the least as far as additional fees. So I'd like to make a motion that we adopt option three, but it's up for the further discussion.
I would second that motion.
All in favor to go with option three?
Aye.
Opposed?
And is it carried?
It's carried.
Just a comment, right? As a subsequent, I don't know whether we want to do any homework or anything proactive, but you know, we're doubling 13 people, 13 residential people, right? And by the way, I voted aye. I'm fully in favor. I'm just saying, you've got 11 two-inch commercial people who are going to basically be doubled, and 13 residential. So it's just a question of whether you do anything proactive there at all.
Yeah, see, option three after the 5/8-inch meter is dramatically different. Mm-hmm. If you look at the base charge under the uniform adjustment for the 1-inch meter, it's $70.86. If you look at the other one, it's $133.78. I'm not sure you want to be that dramatic with it. That's a lot different.
Well, and the theory, right, based on our previous discussions, is you're not paying more for your water, you're paying more for a fatter pipe. Right.
For potential
larger
water.
Yes.
Yeah.
For demand, more
for demand.
Right.
For demand.
Right.
Well, and I will point out that one of our recommendations in the Sunrise study is to increase our rates radically for the higher usage people. So option three would be a better option for the district.
I'm fully supportive. Yeah. Voted aye. I just wanted to point it out in case there's any way we want to market it in any kind of way.
Can I ask a question? Let's say these 13 residential customers, if they might have just picked a 1-inch for no reason. If they find that they could support a 5/8, could they have a meter change out?
I would assume that we have to do a site visit and prove that, yeah, they don't need a 1-inch. I don't see why we couldn't. We'd have to get approval from all you guys, but we can do a site visit and see what their demand is and make a decision from them put together a package and run it by you guys and see if you're okay with it.
And just see what it would cost, like charge them for the labor or whatever,
sure,
for the change out or whatever.
Yeah. I think some of those 1-inches might be commercial as
like,
well.
Like,
okay.
No.
Says there's 1-inch commercials over here.
We have 11 1-inch commercials as well.
Oh, okay, so those 13 are actually residential?
They're residential, 1-inch.
And then it could have just been at the time they were building, they thought,
okay,
yeah, you know,
yeah,
let's put a 1-inch just so we're prepared, but maybe they don't really need one.
Well, that's right. Sprinkler systems and all sorts of other stuff, too.
Well,
yeah.
I mean, they can pay a little more.
You know, when you start looking at the 2-inch commercial meters, now you're really talking
mm-hmm.
a massive change.
It's a doubling just like it is for the 1-inch residentials,
yeah,
right? The 1-inch residentials and the 2-inch commercials double.
Yeah.
Yeah, part of the new drought stages that we have, I believe it's early on, we asked the restaurants to not serve water unless it's requested.
Right.
So,
what do we understand the effective date of this to be?
July 1st with our fiscal year.
Thank you.
And does this take into account the subsequent years for the rate increases?
We have when you look, when we have the other report, the full report,
yes.
since this is a draft, it's going to have subsequent years on it.
Okay.
And this does, on page 29 and 30, but it makes the assumption of 3%.
Right? Okay. Yeah, it's just based on...
Just,
yes.
Okay. There's a assumption here. To be...
Oh, yeah, the years are here.
There it is.
Yep.
Yeah.
Those are all subject to review each year.
Yep. All right. Any further discussion on that? Do we need to take another quick vote, or are we good?
Well, does it, yeah, maybe it's a question, does it change anyone? I'm still
nope.
for
good.
Free.
Okay.
I'm good.
We're good? All right.
Option three. Still for option,
option three then. Motion passes.
That will make RCAC happy. That's their recommendation.
Good. Okay. Next item will be to take possible action regarding the approving the Raggett contractual agreement. Again, the contract for health insurance benefits will be ending June 30th. The trust voted to renew the district's contract with an option of 1, 3, or 5 years.
I thought it was
1, 3, or 5.
Since we've discussed this all in our executive meeting, I'm going to make a motion that we renew this for 5 years, because it is, we're lucky to be a part of it, and we want a lot of it.
And in line of that, to authorize myself to sign the agreement and get it submitted by April 1st.
Okay. What are the differences of 1, 3, or 5 years? Is there a cost difference? I'm trying to understand why wouldn't it just be 5 years if there was no difference in price or anything else? So that's what I don't understand.
Yeah, they really didn't clarify. I mean, they just merely said, look, you have the option of renewing for 1 year, and maybe organizations that would be looking to, maybe we're going to go out and try to rebid.
I think they look at your usage of your insurance. And if you're locked in for 5 years, you're locked in for 5 years. If you're locked in for 1 year and you're using a little bit more than what they expected, you know, they can't kick you out of the group, because we were looking at the possibility.
Yeah.
You
kicked out. It's kind of like a lease, I guess.
Yeah. So if it does also go the other way, where if you sign the contract for 5 years and you find something cheaper, you can't leave.
That's correct.
Yeah, that's correct.
Okay. Yes.
Okay. That might make sense then.
Yeah.
Well, it's been good ever since we got it in 2018, so
yeah.
You can't...
I'm just trying to figure out what the difference was, that's all. Why don't they have a difference?
My less than a good deal for the district. My concern was that going to a minimum of 24 employees now. They're not,
yeah.
27. They're not even accepting agencies our size anymore.
Right.
Yeah.
So to lock in a little bit of a grandfathering that we are locked into this trust.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to attend the convention next year and be up for vote again. And
no.
with our cost,
right.
possibly.
Yeah.
And they're telling me, well, it really doesn't have to do with cost. Well, I don't believe that.
Well, yeah.
No.
I think if the entire group says, boy, they're costing us a lot of money, let's get
yeah.
rid of them.
Right.
So I think for the sake of our employees. You know,
so there's really only one downsize. And that's either that we find something cheaper, which we probably aren't, I grant you.
Yeah.
Or they can adjust the cost as high as they want. And we're stuck with that adjusted cost for 5 years, which they haven't done it, so their track record is very good.
Mm-hmm.
So it makes sense to go with the longer time frame.
And plus, we do get a vote when that
yes.
happens.
Yes, so we voted as our group.
We set as the rock to
yeah.
what we're going to accept. So.
And just a qualified question on the 12%, because that was pretty steep, right? Do the subsequent years, or is there any commitment to tie to CPI or anything like that, or is it just kind of
the 12? I think it's just experience.
Yeah, 12 is high.
It is.
It's health care, so it's what we can negotiate.
And with just cost of living, what, 6%
yeah.
last year? So I guess I was shocked when it was only 12%.
Oh, really?
I thought it would be yeah. much higher. I've been involved personally with brokering
okay.
health plans for companies, and yeah, that is.
I've seen 20%.
24%
yes.
isn't very.
It was 8% 2 years ago, 10% last year, and now 12%.
Yeah,
12.4%.
That's reasonable.
Gotcha.
But before we went to this plan, we had a small Blue Cross Blue Shield plan with very few people on it, and the increases were 35% a year.
Yes. And we looked at other providers, Blue Cross Blue Shield. We looked at Aetna and Cigna, and they were much higher. There was one lower, but then they had other caveats that the trust did not agree with, and we members said, no, we're not interested in pursuing those other companies.
So I think we had a proposal, so I'll second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay, motion passes. So a 5-year, and we will get that document signed and sent over to Reagan. Thank you.
Yes, thank you.
Sharon, the resolution.
Yep. The WIFA loan for $17.5 million interim funding for USDA was approved on February 17th. The district needs to provide the borrower's resolution. We believe the funds may be available in April for construction projects. And so this is the resolution that needed to be signed by our attorney, and then has to be signed by Ray and Larry, and sent over to WIFA so they can proceed with the rest of the loan documents.
So we no longer have to deal with the banks the way this is set up? WIFA will provide our interim financing?
Isn't that sweet?
At 1%?
Isn't that nice? Isn't that sweet? For
great.
5 years.
Yeah. Job.
And also, Sharon, why don't you share with what we found out from the bank, what you were able to do.
Great job.
Oh, penalty. That's right. I was going to put that in my report, and I forgot. I would have PNC Bank, West Compass, give me a payoff number for what the prepayment penalty for paying that loan off would be. And it's always, the lowest it was ever was $265,000. And I thought, well, you know, that's not too bad, because we've got $250,000 in a reserve account with them, so it really wouldn't hurt us cash-wise. But I wanted that $250,000 back to the district. So they sent me over an actual payoff that they did. I also indicated to them that the previous bank person that we dealt with had told me on occasions when entities go and borrow federal funds or state funds, they do make concessions on the prepayment penalty. Well, they gave me the payoff with zero prepayment penalty.
Wow! Oh, yeah. Nice job!
$250,000.
Yeah.
$256,000.
Yeah. Mr. Chairman, I'd just like to identify Sharon as doing an excellent job on this whole program. And concerning where I know this district was 5-8 years ago compared to this document, this is, quite honestly, is probably the biggest document, financial document, this district's probably ever signed, I'm guessing. And I want to commend you and your staff for doing a great job.
And I second that. Excellent job. Thank you, Sharon.
We're only third, fourth, and fifth, and sixth.
The field crew is asking for a lounge and powder room in the restaurant.
I don't think that's on the agenda.
You're out of order.
Okay, someone needs to make a motion on this, or did we?
I make a motion that we. What's the motion? Make a motion that we accept the WIFA interim loan of $17.5 million and authorize the chairman to sign the borrower resolution.
I second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion carries and passes. So again, thank you, Sharon, for your work.
You're welcome.
Okay, item 10, identifying potential agenda items for the next scheduled board meeting, which will be held on March 24th. That will be our March meeting. This is our February meeting, so we'll have two this month. Again, think of anything that you may have.
I believe you might have to have a special meeting on the RIGET issue for the rates and the plan that they're going to stay with the plan and all that type of stuff prior to that meeting, because they're going to want to know what plan you're selecting, like the high deductible plan,
yes, right,
and that type of stuff. they're probably going to want to know before the 24th, but Morgan can check with
Amanda
okay. on that.
And that would be an e-session?
No.
It would be public.
It would be public.
Talking about our interns rates for our employees?
Costs.
Well, it's just blanket. It's
oh, it's the
it's
main
not
cost
individual.
Of everything.
Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah.
Got it.
Okay.
Yeah. Riley's order for the deannexation.
The order, yes. Yeah. Deannexation order from Raleigh. Okay.
And the items that were tabled tonight, I don't know if you want to. Well, that's one of those.
The non-disclosure?
The SRP you're actually tabling for a while.
Yeah, probably 60 days.
I do have a question. I don't know that we settled it. The water share agreement. Are we going to have a special meeting to maybe perhaps with the Water Enhancement Committee to suggest that rate? Or when are we going to have that meeting for that rate? When we're going to change the rate for the water share people?
When we have the information available to change it July 1st.
So it'll be in the July meeting?
Well, it'll be before
that. No, it'll be before that because that's public hearing. But it'll be sometime before that.
Yeah, we'll deal with it when we're dealing with budget.
Okay. All right, so we don't have any more to do on that today?
No, not today.
No. I just wanted it out there so that we could begin to think.
Yeah.
Think about it. Okay. And again, as you know, along the couple weeks here, get everything to Larry if you have any topics. And again, thank you, Larry and Becky, for your help and assistance with getting all that information put together. Okay, do I have a motion to adjourn?
I do.
Do I have a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? We're adjourned. Thank you very much.